Support for WSJ comes from Comcast, committed to improving your customer service experience with two-hour appointment windows, including nights and weekends, because they should fit into your life, not the other way around. Learn more at Xfinity.com/service.
Stock pickers who've beaten the market have big tech names to thank for their success.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. Money managers who've done well this year have stuck with the tried and true. They've invested in five of the best-known technology companies. These five have accounted for much of the S&P 500's market cap advance in 2017. And that's made some investors uneasy and worried that stock prices have run too far too fast, but also reluctant to pare their holdings. Joining us is Wall Street Journal reporter Chris Dietrich. All right, Chris, what five stocks are we talking about?
Right. We're talking about some of the best-known technology names in the game. So Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Microsoft. These are the biggest and sort of baddest players in the game.
Right. We've got also Google parent Alphabet in there as well.
Of course, Google. We use it every day.
Right. That's an important point. How much of the S&P 500's advance have these stocks accounted for this year?
Right. So far, we've had just the market capitalization of the S&P. These five stocks alone, accounting for 41%, right? So tremendous galloping gains for these alone account for much of the S&P 500's gains. And part of what we think is interesting about that is in order to beat the benchmark, right, we know about active managers who have mutual fund baskets of stocks. Even if you're just tracking the S&P 500, you've got big slugs of these stocks. So if you have really any hope of beating the benchmark, then you're going to have incredibly large stakes in these technology companies. So we talked to managers who are doing quite well this year. And listen, on any given year, you in order to beat the benchmark, you're gonna have to own the best performing stocks. But those that are doing so this year have, 10% of their portfolio in things like Amazon alone. So really sort of doubling down on what are the best performing stocks this year.
So in order to beat the benchmark, in order to beat the standard measure, you've just got to keep piling in on these stocks, and they've really skewed funds as a result?
I would say that, right. I mean, so we know there's this sort of ongoing debate in the background that's been going on for years, that's sort of index investing versus whether or not an individual who picks stocks, is good enough to justify paying them as such, right? So what we've had is this cross-section of the investment landscape that are folks that are buying things like Amazon, Apple, Google, but doing so in such a large proportion that's what they need to beat the benchmark. And those who haven't have lagged again this year.
Isn't one reason these stocks are so pricey that seemingly everyone is owning them? I mean, I don't know the proper term, but it just feeds on itself?
I think it does, but it's important to think about what these companies do, and we alluded to it earlier in the conversation, is they're really entwined in our day-to-day lives in ways that, undoubtedly when tech stocks have really tremendous gains, it's sort of in the back of investors who have been around for a while, harkens to the days of the late 90s and the dot-com sort of boom and ultimate bust. What people that are heavily invested in names today will tell you are the big differentiators, or one of them at least. I mean, these are massive, mature companies that are generating serious cash flow, and they reach into every part of our lives. Amazon, I can't tell you how many packages I have to step in front of to get into my apartment on any given day, right? I mean, how many times have you used Google today? And so this idea that the valuations of tech companies are sort of just vapor, or on paper that aren't actually generating cash, the pets.com, these are not them.
I'm speaking with Chris Dietrich of the Wall Street Journal, and you're listening to Your Money Matters.
This podcast is sponsored by HSBC. When it's time to take your business international or take your international presence to a whole new level, HSBC has the network to connect you to the world. Search HSBC International to learn more.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Chris, as you just mentioned, there's a big difference between present-day ownership in big tech companies and what was going on back in the 1990s, the dot-com bubble. People were investing in stocks, and their stock prices were going up no matter whether these companies had made any money or not.
Right. I mean, I think so. So it's interesting when you talk to professional money managers who have huge stakes in the likes of Amazon and Google, and you push them a bit and they say, yeah, listen, does it make us a little bit uncomfortable to own a stock that's up 30% this year, one that is in the, portfolios of virtually everybody, and they say, yeah. However, think about the direction that consumer behavior is going, and these are exactly the stocks that everyone sort of expects to want to own 5 years ago. So there is this interesting tension, I think, between the idea that this is somehow a crowded trade, but the undeniable reality that, you know, Amazon's going to be around for a long time. Google's going to be around for a long time. Facebook is going to continue to dominate online advertising for a long time. So the sort of tremendous competitive advantages that these companies have is I think what assuages the concerns that this is some sort of dot-com bubble all over again.
In your story, Chris, don't you have one fact that tells us just about half of all actively managed U.S. stock funds have beaten their benchmark? I mean, some crazy figure like that?
Right. And so, I mean, you got to keep in mind that this has been a tough decade, more than a decade for active managers. It's been, you know, an index that costs almost nothing from Vanguard, an index fund you've done better just simply owning that. And so, although it might not seem like a tremendously strong performance for around 50% to beat, it is actually pretty astonishing and a remarkable turnaround. In order to do it, you have to own double or sometimes triple what's in the S&P 500 of things like Amazon and Google.
Well, sure. I mean, we've heard the advice in the past that it's often best to stick with a benchmark fund, stick with an index fund like the S&P 500, and apparently that's not as true these days.
But, you know, I think it's not as true, but it is worth noting that so-called value funds, so-called just sort of core actively managed funds, if you're not heavily invested in tech right now, you're getting left behind.
Yeah. You also mentioned in your story that the best performing large cap growth stock fund this year, at least tracked by Morningstar, is a fund that has mostly Amazon or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so this is another interesting chance if you want to delve back into this active and passive debate. It's really the funds that are the most active. They own concentrated baskets of these very stocks. And so there's a specialist, a firm in Seattle called Zevin Bergen, and they own their portfolio is about 40 stocks. And it, in fact, in that case, it is 10% Amazon.
Yeah.
But they've invested in Amazon for years. So they've been there all along. It's not necessarily that they're chasing performance or something. It's really that they, you know, foresaw the dominance in this names and have held on, even though this fund is actually a particularly new one. It's kind of a sliver of something that that group of people has been doing for a long time. But just to give you some idea, right, I mean, 10%, that's obviously the flip side is, you know, should these companies hit hurdles, should the market hit some turbulence, of course, expect these to go down.
Yeah, that's the flip side. Wall Street Journal reporter Chris Dietrich, thank you very much for joining us.
Great to be here.
And that's Your Money Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm Charlie Turner at the news desk in New York.
Ambition comes with earbuds. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.